Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does.
It does. Settle in your soul.
It settles.
If you have a soul. Unlike,
this is true.
Unlike some, you know.
People.
People. Well, if you want to call them that, yeah.
I guess. Trolls.
Socialists.
Yes.
Why'd you guys look at me when you say that?
I didn't look
at
you.
We never looked at you.
I have a soul.
We know you have a great soul.
A great soul.
You're a tender soul.
You have quick fingers, too.
I do. Well, hey.
You're a good guy.
You are.
Thank you.
You're on the right team.
Good morning. This is Jefferson's State of Mine. Mine.
It's
like
mine.
Ours. Mine.
It's mine.
It's mine.
It's mine.
It's mine.
And everybody else's.
Mm-hmm. I'm here, Terry Raposa, with Wynn Carpenter. And I'm also
like
with Terry Raposa.
Because we like to share.
Mm-hmm. And the Hat Man.
Hey, and Hat Man.
Hey, good morning, guys.
And morning, Ashley's Travis. Back there somewhere. Hey, Ashley, we love you.
Oh, Ashley's in the house.
She is.
Yeah, she's working in the back.
She's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
He's awesome. She'll be an asset to anybody.
Amen.
Anyway. And Frank Rose, Sergeant at Arms.
Yes, sir. The keeper of the peace.
Yes, he is.
Good
Frankie,
man.
Frankie, our treasure.
Good man, good man.
Anyway, we are broadcasting live, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better.
When it plays.
And 1460 AM, where your talk radio down here in downtown Reading, KCNR1460.com. We are streaming live, podcasting worldwide, and we are archived forever and ever and ever, I think.
And we've been doing this a couple of years.
Yep, seems like it.
Yeah, probably, I don't know, 7.
Weren't you, like, taller, thinner?
Oh, I was much thinner. That's what made me look taller.
I know I was taller and thinner.
We all were. At one point.
Anyway, we are here today, and I want to bring up a couple of things. I mean, first of all, the first thing I want to talk about is comfort zone. And I saw something I hadn't seen really in front of people, like I saw from my wife yesterday, Rally Sally. You talk about somebody who got up at an event. We're going to have a lady calling in, which will be Lori Bridgeford, and she's going to talk a little bit about this event we did yesterday. And Sally got up during an open mic at this event, and she let it fly with both barrels. It was articulate. It was something that was spot on, constitutional, talking about how we need to get our local government back. If we don't do it, when are we going to do it? The passion and the conviction, I mean, that mama let it go with both barrels, and then she reloaded. And she reiterated what she had said on a talk show on another station, where the host is, well, he's sort of betwixt in between. He's sort of, you know, a little bit of a fence. Well, you know, yeah, he's on the fence. Wondering what we're going to do about local, about what we're going to do as far as people rising up. I don't know what this recall could be called other than people rising up. And just so you folks know it, this is a constitutionally protected right. This recall is exactly that. In fact, 31 of the 50 states have the ability through their state constitution to recall local representatives. California, as of a couple of months ago, set a record on recalling local representatives with a total of 69.
And we have 3 of them.
Mm-hmm. And apparently they aren't done yet in California.
Nope.
Now, when you look at that and you see what's going on with counties in California, there's a coalition. It's called the Freedom Coalition. It's an excellent group of people. There's around 11 counties involved right now, standing up and fighting for local government. to get rid of the corruption. And as my wife said yesterday, and she is right, that local corruption is in just about every county in California, probably every county, in one degree or another. Now, you're never going to get rid of total corruption from all the counties. You're always going to have somewhat of dishonesty and things of that nature. But Shasta County has more than their share. I mean, just one simple thing. Hey, folks, in one term where we should have one sheriff, we're already on our third. Already on our third.
And guess what? We only got to vote for the one on the first term, mm-hmm. first beginning of the term. That was for Basinko. The election was held for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last two, we didn't get to vote for.
Well, we'll be reaching out to our new sheriff, Mike Johnson, who's the former, well, I guess he still is till, what, the 14th or 15th of August. He's the police chief of Anderson. Is that what it is, Wynn?
Yes, you know? Sir. Yep.
And anyway, he will be, we'll be reaching out to him. We'd like to have him on the radio program, and no, this won't be something that we're going to grill him. We're not going to, we just want to ask him what his thoughts are and where he's going. Mike Johnson, the man, at least the man that I know, seems to be a pretty straight up guy. I don't see where he is, I believe that he believes what he's saying, and that is he thinks he can make a difference in Shasta County, and he can help, create an environment to where the sheriff's department can do its job and where law enforcement can do their job. There was a couple of things that were said that people brought up to me. I didn't necessarily hear them, but I heard this, and this would be a question I would ask him. He had mentioned something about civil unrest. What does that mean, civil unrest in the county? Well, first of all, civil unrest is something that doesn't fall under the purview of law enforcement. Civil unrest is something that falls under the purview of the of people being upset of what's happening with their government, of their rights. And remember, the only job of government is to protect those rights. That's the only job of government. That's what they're there for.
And that includes law enforcement.
Well, yeah, and it includes our elected officials as far as our supervisors, et cetera. It's not up to them to talk about or to protect us from our health or put us on, you know, make sure we all stay home so we're healthy or whatever the case may be. That's not their job. It isn't their purview. It's not their jurisdiction.
Well, their job is to arrest those who violate their oath and violate the trust that they have by of the people that elected them into those positions. And law enforcement has to start doing their job as far as that goes. You know, when things are proven to be fact, why aren't they dealing with it? Why aren't they arresting them? I mean, heck, it goes back to the citizens' arrest that we had here. Where did that go? Did it die on the vine because all of them are part of the same soupy sewer? I mean, questions. I mean, you just got to ask the questions and just keep asking questions, because at some point, by peeling back the layers on this gigantic onion, as we do and have been, you keep finding more. The more you pull back, the more you find. And it's mind-boggling at times, but guess what? It's necessary. And we're going to do this in our lifetime, because we're trying to prevent our kids and grandkids from having to deal with this garbage. We've been asleep way too long. We've been inactive way too long. We need to step up. All of us, doesn't matter your age group, just step up and get it done. Participate in getting things back in order. We have to do that. If we don't do it, what are we going to leave for our kids and grandkids?
You know, and again, it takes the courage of your comfort zone. I know that Sally's uncomfortable when it comes to speaking in front of a crowd of people. Normally she doesn't. She's okay when it comes to maybe reading something, or excellent when it comes to calling in and talking about events. But for her to stand and speak from her heart with that kind of conviction and that strength, oh my gosh, it was absolutely amazing. I mean, people were banging on the table when she got done. And to me, someone who speaks with that kind of conviction, those kinds of facts, that kind of courage.
Yes.
Love you, baby. You did a great job. I'm telling you, it was really amazing. Absolutely amazing. Getting back to the sheriff, you know, again, I think that, you know, again, Mike Johnson has very good credentials. You know, hopefully he'll do the right thing. And you know, I know one of the things he talked about was the eradication of these illegal grows. I'm not sure how that's going to go, but I do know that the red, white, and blueprint will be coming out, and they'll be speaking to a lot of this stuff. And it will be coming out on August the 7th, which is Saturday, next Saturday. We had to delay it a week because of a lot of new information that came in. It's amazing what these guys do. I mean, they'll bring up the day before the thing's released, they'll have new information to be able to get it on there. Just amazing what they do. Also, again, talking about the Freedom Coalition, that's Courtney Allen, a young gal out of Yuba County, remarkable young lady, worked in government in Oregon for a while. I believe she's at the ripe old age of about 28 or 29 years old.
Yep.
And just got married. Congratulations, darling. And just an absolutely wonderful young woman, Lori Harris, out of Butte County, who, by the way, is she's a firecracker, that one. I mean, she stands and, you know, one thing that she has really brought out and pushed hard there is the idea of a forensic audit. And I'd like to ask my partner to talk a little bit about the forensic audit, what it is, and what kind of effect it can have.
We need to get one done. That's it, point blank. It needs to happen. A forensic audit tells you where the skeletons are in the audit process. They can tell you who paid what, how much they paid, and whom they paid it to. And then there's always underlying backstories behind some of these things that aren't always just whitewashed, and they hold them accountable to why certain things were spent, certain dollars were spent on certain, we'll call them projects, if you will. But it's a money trail, it's a paper trail, and it tells you the story of what's really going on. And as far as we know, we've never had a forensic audit done in Shasta County. And I have a million-dollar question. How come every time we have a new board come in or new board members come in, there's never been an audit, a true audit? I mean, you can't have your auditor who works for the county do the auditing. That's unacceptable. That's that's having the fox guard the hen house. That's just not how it works. So it needs to be done. It needs to be done immediately, or with, you know, hey, a whole new board when the new board comes in, when they're all elected in there, that should be one of the first things that happens. Because as a new board member, who would want to come in there and just resume business as usual, not knowing what they have and where the problems lie? How can they do that? I mean, we just got notification, well, we knew it, but it was reaffirmed that the board of supervisors didn't even do the line-by-line, line-item-by-line-item assessment of the budget. They let staff do it, and they took it on staff's recommendation. How does that work? They're the ones who the board is ultimately responsible for the entire budget. They sign off on that, and they have to act on it, and they vote on items that are directly affected by the budget. Why do they not go through the auditing process themselves, in a sense of knowing what's in there, line item by line item? Spend a day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever it takes. Go through the process, question everything, and have explanation from staff as to what's going on with that. Staff meaning all the department heads, the elected officials that are part of that as well. We're talking about, you know, like the assessor, the tax collector, you know, the auditor, all those other folks as well. They're elected, but they also have budget responsibility. Why are we not getting those answers, and why are they not getting those answers?
I've got a question for you. When it comes to accountability, you were talking about spending, you know, if the money trail leads to something that shouldn't have been done, what is the accountability and what is the consequences of that?
What is the accountability?
Well, I mean, there is accountability. I'm sorry. What's the consequences of that? In other words, you find somebody that did something that they should have done in a department.
If they knowingly and purposely do something, is it a terminable offense? I don't know. You'd have to take it case by case. But by golly, it should be exposed.
That's for sure.
Absolutely, because that is our taxpayer money. The property taxes we pay here in Shasta County, the consumer tax that we pay here in Shasta County, whether we are residents of Shasta County or not, people come from other counties and buy vehicles here in Shasta County. How much tax money do you think somebody coming from Siskiyou County comes down to Shasta County and buys a brand new vehicle here? How much tax money do you think is generated here? Quite a bit. So guess what? It's all those dollars that are generated in Shasta County that need to be accounted for. And we know that there's a boatload of it out there, but how do you control and do the right thing? They're not paying attention to the details. They're not watching what needs to be watched, and all they're doing is bloating, making everything bloated up year after year. And it's so frustrating because for everything that keeps on getting spent and more money and more money and more money, we have fewer services. We have less stuff that needs to be done here. Look at the roads throughout Shasta County. I mean, that's just one department. That's just one analogy. But good grief, we have all these things that need to be fixed, and they're not getting fixed. But by gosh, by golly, we have more department heads and more managers or pseudo-managers in all these departments. Why? Why do we have to have it that way now when apparently, you know, with all the electronic version of everything we have, you know, computer systems and all these data banks and all this other stuff should make it a little easier to operate, but clearly it doesn't. So those are the kind of things that we have to look at and do a good, thorough audit, forensic audit on the entire county, all the way.
Okay, we have Lori on the line. How are you, Lori?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Lori.
Hey, I was going to offer a very brief field report from yesterday's community town hall because our officials that we've been asking for quite a long time have not taken action. So we the people get to do it. Yesterday felt like, to me, almost like a family reunion. Even though we don't know each other, it had that energy of support and engagement, respectful, you know, dialogue. We had a really good open mic period where it was far beyond 3 minutes for people. We were not trying to mimic or emulate, you know, the Board of Supervisors version. And I just loved all the kids that were there, plenty for them to do, face painting balloons. I love it when other kids can meet other children with other awake parents. It's amazing to see how much they calm down, laugh, play. It's so wonderful. So that was one aspect. Obviously, I want to be very clear. Richard and I were being the host for this town hall as Shasta County Citizen Journalists, and we completely invited Donnie of a news cafe. We invited Christian Gardner of Common Ground Show. We heard nothing back. So I want this to be on full record, folks. We wanted inclusion. We wanted as many people as possible that could be a part of an integrated offering, we'll call it. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. So the two guest speakers we had were yourself, Terry, thank you so much, and Patrick Jones. And he brought his pet pig, he and his wife, Lori.
Gracie.
That was great. Oh, my gosh.
Gracie.
Lots of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And Sally had a great birthday party, so, you know, that was fun. We had the recall booth. We had the Rifle Pistol Association show up. And more importantly, I got a nice big list of new people signing up with their phone numbers, their emails, and where they're from. So this was a start of what's going to be a marathon, folks. Nothing, you know, magically happens in one event or one day. So that's basically, you know, Pastor Dave showed up and gave us a nice prayer. We had the pledge. The kids were coming up on stage. I love that. They have a voice. One little gal.
Oh, man.
I won't say her name, but, I mean, we were almost near tears because she's facing going back to school again. And this whole mask fiasco where they're going to suffocate these kids and not call it child abuse? No. No. So,
well,
what are your impressions, Terry Wynn? You were there, too.
It was well done. Thank you. And, you know, it was nice to hear all the people that got up and spoke and hear just to hear what they had to say, you know, their version of what was going on and what to do and all everything that they offered. It was really good to hear that.
Yep. It was a good event. I don't know who wants to take the baton next and have something similar, but the point is really, will our officials pull it together and sponsor something so we can have the people we really need to be dialoguing and conversing with, whether it's from the DA, the Board of Supervisors, City Council, our mayor, whatever it is, but they're just forever unavailable or you only get to be on their terms.
They'll never do it, Lori. They'll never do it.
They don't want to hear from us. We know.
Yep,
we know. Look at what's happening with the Chair Joe Clemente, taking away phone calls, whether you get to leave a voicemail phone call or have it live patched in during the meeting. Either way, cancel, gone, censorship, la, la, la. This is absolutely disgusting. And there you are, folks. This is our leadership right now. And you wonder why they're on recall. Seriously?
Amen.
I don't know, but I know we have some plans for other censorship, and that's what's happening here in the chat room, the abuse we've had since that one show started, what, 3 months ago, whatever it was, it's been nothing but complete decimation on some level. Yes, we strive to make some productive comments. We share links, sites, information, knowledge, research. And still, it's just nothing but this awful negativity. This is definitely part of the cancel culture from the far left, extreme left, and this radio station needs to address it, other than these couple-minute bans or banning all of us because one or two people are acting up over and over chronically. See, this is all part of cancel censorship. It's happening even on this level of the chat room. So I think Richard might call in. He's got some options. We've been talking about this for a while. I'm pretty sure he's got a solid plan so that Travis does not have to take this BS.
Yeah, well, Travis had to shut down the chat room for half an hour.
I mean,
I don't know if Carl's listening or not, but there have been some things I've seen that were sent to me on people threatening other people. Now, it's one thing to have your opinion. Yeah, there's two sides, but there's also right and wrong, as Trish Clark pointed out. I mean, Hitler had his side, and the Jews he killed had their side. But was there right and wrong on that? Stalin had his side, and the people he killed had their side. Now, is there something right or wrong with that? Pharaoh had his side, and Moses and the Israelites had their side. You know, that is just a very, very bad position, saying everybody has their side and their say. Not if it's threatening someone, and I've seen things on there to where people are threatening people, and or they're warning of threats of being happening with them, and to watch themselves and that stuff. You know, really and truly, this chat room used to be something that, you know, I remember Jay, the taxi cab philosopher, the guy'd call in and he'd have some stuff, and there'd be people calling in on the chat room and chatting about different things, and I'm not saying that it was all light, fun, and games. There were some important things and some things of substance. But really and truly, this has gotten way out of hand. And it just miraculously started, frankly, when that program started on Saturday morning. That's when it started.
I agree.
I really respect Carl and Linda. You know, I think that they've done a great job here. But, I mean, come on. You know, we've gotten to a point here. Let's talk about the issues. Let's talk about not people. I mean, we get talked about as far as our program goes and about what we do. My wife's name gets mentioned on the other programs. I mean, really and truly, and the answer isn't, okay, well, then just take your ball and go home. No, that's not the answer. The answer is to do the right thing. It's the right and the wrong, not the good guys and the bad guys. Because
well,
some bad guys,
this.
Let me just finish.
Okay.
Some bad guys think they're good guys, and they're bad guys, or they're fence-sitters. And, oh, I'm going to do it with this because I'm going to protect the First Amendment. Well, you go right ahead and protect the First Amendment. That's fine with me. But, you know, does protecting the First Amendment mean it's okay that people can be warned that they're going to have bodily harm? How is that even okay? Anyway, Larry, I'll turn it back to you.
Yeah, in closing, because I want to have you guys finish what you're doing and other callers and all the rest, I do copy and paste when things are so egregious in the chat room. That's my evidence, proof, and file. So I'm not saying this to be threatening. I'm just saying I'm threatened. People are calling me going, Lori, have you seen the chat room lately? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
try to keep up with it. But guess what, folks? When these two main people are in the chat room 24/7, what is going on here? Carl and Linda can't pay to have a producer sit in watch a chat room. They should probably, in my opinion, this is a suggestion, is stop the chat room if you don't have anyone monitoring it. How are we supposed to be?
Yeah, why would they have it 24 hours a day?
I don't know what's going to happen.
You said that chat room's on 24 hours a day. I didn't know that.
I have seen.
I didn't know that. Because I don't watch the chat room, to be honest.
Chat room comments all hours of the day, and it's completely different programming. It's not a live show. There's no producer in the building. So maybe Travis has something to say. I'm not trying to put him on the spot, but he's today's producer. And I'm just saying, we're not going to be victims. We never are. We advocate, and we're not going to take this, and we'll find other solutions. Totally.
Well,
yes.
The thing is then, and, you know, in closing with that, and thank you, Lori.
Okay, talk to you guys later.
Yeah, you know, in closing with that again, you know, I get emails, and in the emails are the quotes from the chat room, and then you can go back and verify them. But, I mean, that thing's running 24 hours a day. What is the purpose of that? What is the purpose of having that kind of dialogue? Now, we're about 30 seconds away from our break. And I think we'll take that right now. We'll see you on the other side. Time has come.
4:51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
40 HP Johnson on a flat bottom metal boat. Coke cans and BB guns, barbed wire and old fence posts. 8-point bucks in autumn and freshly cut cornfields. One arm out the window and one hand on the wheel. Some things just go better together and probably always will. Like a cup of coffee and a sunrise. Sunday drives and time to kill. What's the point of this old guitar if it ain't got no strings? Or pouring your heart into a song that you ain't gonna sing. It's a match made up in heaven, like good old boys and beer and me, as long as you're right here.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com with Carl and Linda Bach.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
In some old dusty attic, unstirred for many years, there lies a tattered banner that is stained with blood and tears. By men who knew that freedom must be fought for by the free, and died to save a ragged flag that says, don't tread on me, don't tread on me. I'm a rattlesnake with diamonds on my back. And other men retreat, that's just the time that I attack. Because a dream that's worth defending is a dream that's bound to be a ragged flag that says, don't tread on me.
Yes.
Don't tread on me.
Don't tread on me.
Don't tread on me. The Don't Tread on Me, the Gadsden flag.
Gadsden flag, a beautiful
mm-hmm.
flag.
Mm-hmm. First saw in 1774. Mm-hmm. On a Marine, an American Marine's drum.
You first saw it then?
No, I didn't see it. Well, I talked to Ben back then.
You talked to Ben.
Yeah, actually. And the idea of the snake was an interesting idea by the colonists because they believed that the rattlesnake, first of all, she doesn't attack unless she's provoked. Yeah. When she strikes until she has her victim succumbed.
Mm-hmm.
You notice I use her.
Mm-hmm.
And also, most rattlesnakes in North America had anywhere from about 11 to 15 rattles.
Yep.
So, as Ben Franklin said, you know, you can be riding through the forest on your horse, and when you hear that rattle, I mean, one rattle wouldn't make any difference if the snake only had one rattle, but once you hear that rattle, you know.
Yep.
If you get bit by that thing, you're toast. And there was a lot of people who wanted the eagle, and Franklin wanted the turkey, which I thought was interesting. But a lot of people wanted the eagle, but he thought they had sort of a surly personality, and he wasn't really in for that. But anyway, interesting stuff about the Gadsden flag. The Marines used it, and as far as I know, I think they still do. Yet a lot of these things have been taken out of context and said to be racist. Of course, everything's racist, you know. And, you know, the thing is that we look at our heritage and what's happened in our country. When you have, again, you have a thing to where, especially locally, you know, when you have a thing to where you attack people locally in articles, I know there was even attacks in, Carl Bott talked about it, in Donnie Chamberlain's article, attacks on, innuendo on the new sheriff. About a couple of shootings he was involved in and things like that. And I mean, the nature of that was one of, it was portrayed in a light intentionally, I believe.
Yep.
So that, Johnson would look like a bad guy. When I see these kinds of things, and I call it out because of journalism, you know, and just to explain to folks, okay, first of all, we pay for this program. We pay to be on this show. We are not professionals. We pay to do it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way radio works.
Contrary to popular belief.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, people just, you know, you just don't, because they, people like what you're doing, you just don't get on the program. But there's two ways of paying. One, well, actually three. There's sponsors, there's advertising, and then there's also, you know, just, you know, donations. And we pay for our radio programs. Sovereign Minds pays for them. Everybody pays for their programs. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's just the way radio works. They have to, you know, they have to keep the doors open, and they've got to do things, you know, they have to operate and pay employees and, you know, give Travis a raise and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And
another raise? He's had like five since we've been here.
I haven't had one yet.
Yeah, no, I know. It's okay, buddy. Better days are ahead for you, I guarantee you. Anyway, so the thing is that, you know, when you look at these kinds of things and people kind of single us out, we're basically just people. People have singled out, you know, the garments that the State of Jefferson stuff that we sell. We have Second Amendment stuff, State of Jefferson stuff. We sell souvenir stuff. We've done a lot of that. I've been semi-retired for quite some time. Actually, there's a company called Jefferson Outfitters, who I'm not sure if she's still in business or not, but she was doing like the bulk of the Jefferson stuff. Totally separate company. There's, you know, Mr. Peterson, who's done State of Jefferson stuff forever. He's in Wairika. So, I mean, the real deal is that anybody can make that gear. You know, anybody can do that kind of stuff. Nobody cares. I mean, the idea is to get the word out. But the idea of Jefferson is something that stands for liberty. It stands for local government, regaining that at the local level. And Chris Ann Hall was amazing in her last video in her movie called
Noncompliance.
And anyway, so
brain dead there for a moment.
Me
sorry.
Too, brother. I know.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock. Oh, maybe it's
no,
too
no.
Early.
I was just like, what's the word?
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, Noncompliance. It's an excellent, excellent, excellent movie. Yeah. And she explains local government, state government. We had a program on that where we talked about that about 4 weeks ago on this program. So you can go back to the archive 4 weeks ago, and we talk about the Constitution, Compact, Contract, blah, 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 blah. It was a lot less cumbersome than that and probably a lot more interesting than that. But the idea of local government and us starting there is what we have control of. I mean, that's what we have control of. That's what we can do something about. And when you do a constitutionally protected thing like a recall, and the people you recall are sending out flyers saying people are being arrested, that people are being investigated and all this stuff, which is a bunch of crap, the only person who has been investigated by the grand jury and convicted of anything...
It's a former chief of police.
Yes.
That was fired from his job. Don't forget that part, guys.
Unanimously
by, mm-hmm. By city council. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that part. That's a huge component that people mm-hmm. seem to just skirt right over. You got to remember that. Chief of police being fired. Why? What was going on? What happened? How'd that happen? Doesn't that make you wonder? And then he gets elected to be a board of supervisor. And then he starts pulling all the same shenanigans here. It really just makes you wonder.
And then he's caught.
And then he's caught red-handed. Finally.
Guilty of misfeasance, of using his power and authority to go behind the lines of the car fire.
I dare say it was probably malfeasance, but they diluted it down to misfeasance so that others who were just as guilty would not have to pay the same crime. They're all in this swamp together. It's not even a swamp, it's a sewer. They're in the sewer together with this. So that's why they're fighting so damn hard here in Shasta County. Don't forget, folks, it's that onion. The more layers you peel back, the more you find. And that's what we're doing constantly. It's a never-ending gift giving to us all as long as we're doing our work. And for those that are on the other side, being naysayers, what are they doing? What are they doing to prove us wrong? Nothing. They don't have facts. They don't have facts to prove what we're finding as wrong or invalid. They're not finding it. So what do? They do name-calling. They say all kinds of nasty things about everybody else that doesn't agree with them. And that's exactly what they're going to do. And they're going to be acting like petulant children, which they do. And they always do. And they bring on guests, you know, here and there that are exactly the same way, that have no knowledge of what's going on here locally.
Yeah, you know, again, Leonard Guilty was found Modi.
Leonard Guilty Modi, that's Leonard his middle Guilty, name.
Yeah. Yeah. LGM. LGM. So anyway, yeah, Leonard Modi was found guilty of a misfeasance, and he's the only person who's actually been found guilty of a crime on both sides of this. You know, there's a low-level misdemeanor that's out there with the Zapata Pinckney thing. And I have a question for the DA. Of course, she doesn't let you ask her questions. And that is, just, and this has nothing to do with the case, but how many low-level misdemeanors, I mean low-level misdemeanors, actually go to court? How many of those go? How many do you actually go after? You know, really and truly, unless there's some reason to do it. Could it be that there was a reason that malfeasance got changed to misfeasance? And who changed that?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. Mm. Who did that?
And why would they do it? And would they do it because maybe they had done the same thing that LGM did?
Somebody near and dear to them?
Maybe. Oh, someone near and dear. You mean they maybe asked somebody to do something?
Yep.
Oh.
They're all guilty. That's why I'm saying. Oh. That's why it was downplayed as far as the charge. Mm. Something had to be brought forward, and that's what the grand jury found.
Unbelievable.
And the grand jury, you know, as most grand juries are told what to do by the DA, which they should not be, clearly, in the rules of how grand juries are supposed to operate and apply their findings. But in Shasta County, we know full well, as we've been educated by a lot of people that have served on the grand jury, and they were very consistent on their story that the DA's office always tells them what to do, what they can do, and what they cannot do.
What's this thing about a fire engine, an antique fire engine being behind the lines? Did somebody own that? Or?
I don't know. I don't have any proof of anything, so I don't know. We could just put it out there and ask people. Do people know?
Anybody know about that?
Anybody know?
Yeah, anybody know about that? Anybody
just,
know?
Just ask the question.
Yeah.
You can always ask questions.
Yeah, you sure can. I wonder if anybody was asked to do a favor for somebody, and then all of a sudden the favor was found out that it was done, and gee whiz, you know. The whole thing is that you can't just sweep this all under the rug. Also, I know there was some talk about a lot of buses coming up here with illegal aliens, and somebody had mentioned that in Weed they had seen buses come up here, up in Weed, California, that there were buses that were stopped with a lot of people that were, well, could be considered probably not citizens.
And dangerous?
Well, I don't know if they're dangerous or not, but well, I mean, they could be if they're bringing something into the country. But
COVID or anything else?
I've seen bus after bus after bus after bus after bus up there. I mean, there isn't a time when I'm pulling in up there that I don't see a bus load of folks, mostly Hispanic.
Are they taking them to Portland and Seattle?
Beats me.
I mean, it's
all I don't know whether they're
down.
Going north or south. I mean, it beats me. I don't know. The point is that they're there.
Or maybe to Canada. Maybe they're taking them to Canada because Canada's letting everybody in, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Roberta, how are you, my dear? What say you?
Oh, good morning. Well, interesting. You know, over the years, the radio black opinion columnists have been relegated to the middle of the night. And yet, Larry Elder has such a huge following.
Yep.
And his replacement is Carl Jackson, another wonderful black columnist. And I was listening to him the other night, and oh my goodness, everybody needs to tune in a little bit. Well, you can hear a replay on Saturdays between, I think it's between 5 and 8. In the evening, you can hear one of their replays. But so I encourage people to tune in to Carl Jackson and give him a listen too.
Oh, we'll
and of course, hey, vote for Larry Elder. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Roberta.
Bye.
She got her choice in. So there you go.
Yeah. You know, the thing that was about this whole election business. Kevin Kiley is coming here, I believe, on Tuesday to the convention center. I think it starts at 7 o'clock at the amphitheater out there, I think, or the outdoor theater out there. I think I'm correct in that. If I'm not, maybe somebody could call in 605-4567, 605-4567 and set me straight, set us straight. Anyway, Kevin Kiley apparently did take the vaccine. That means he gets to probably take one every 6 months because we're going to have all these new strains because, gee whiz, guess what? Things that are viral mutate. Oh, well, we can all like, become pin cushions.
Like ignorance.
Like ignorance. And, you know, so I know Kevin Kiley personally. I've talked with him. I've eaten with him. I've spent as long as 2 hours in conversation with him. And, you know, I think.
How did he get off so easy?
Well,
only 2 hours.
He didn't, you know. Well, the point is that he's. I mean, let's face it. A lamppost in pants is better than Newsom. So, the thing is that you know we've got to make our own decisions. But from what I understand, there are 70 candidates. And somebody maybe can correct me again if I'm wrong on that. But I heard there are 70 candidates, and guess who threw their hat in the ring?
Who?
Ted Hu.
Oh, I heard that on the
Ted
radio.
Who?
Oh
my Ted gosh. Gaines. Ted, and this is funny. If anybody remembers Ted Gaines, he got the nickname Ted Who.
Our former senator.
Oh my gosh! The reason he got his name Ted Who is because nobody knew him. It was kind of like the, it's like you know where is he? Well, he's playing tennis or golf or buying another home. I think they've got like 12 houses.
Remember,
you can get really rich.
Remember when they were up here in the downtown mall building that one time?
Yes.
He and Dolly were in there. They were speaking to people. Blah blah blah. And this precious little old lady standing in the back asked a question. She said, "Who's the guy standing beside you?" She was speaking to Brian Dalley, and he said, "That's Senator Gaines." She had no idea who he was.
No one did. And
nobody
everybody
did.
Laughed in the whole building.
Yeah, it was hilarious because nobody else could have got away with that. But this precious lady, she said that, and it was hilarious. Everybody erupted in laughter. It was. So that just tells you that, you know, he was our senator and nobody knew who he was. You know, I mean, well, some people there in the room did, but she clearly didn't know who he was. And it was very funny and very fitting because apparently he hadn't been up here visiting before, right? So he dressed down very casually to come here. You know, he was very casual in his dress because he was coming to the sticks, you know, the redneck city of Redding. That's what he was doing instead of being a statesman and being dressed appropriately. Hell, Brian was better dressed than he was that day. So it just tells you what was going on. It's so frustrating that he's even doing that. And he is at the Board of Equalization. He is one who is responsible for your tax dollars. That's where all the money goes from Shasta County. All our taxes go into Sacramento, goes through the Board of Equalization. They do all the mandates for all the stuff tax-wise, and he wants to run our state. I don't think so. Absolutely not. He should get zero votes, my opinion.
Well, you know, we have a lot of people here. We have a local young gal running. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to remember her name. I think it's Leslie.
No, I can't remember her name either. But she's out of Oak Run area.
Yeah. Anyway, she's running, and you know, I'm sure that again, she probably has a good platform. I talked to her I think for maybe about 30 seconds. I left a couple of messages. She left me a couple of messages, but I mean, really and truly, you know, you're looking at front runners. I'd say Elder and Kylie are the two front runners at this point, although Caitlyn Jenner may argue. But, you know, I mean, the real deal is that, you know, I mean, we just have to weigh which one of these guys or which one of these people we're going to really, you know, hear from. I think that Kevin, though, will be, as Larry Elder will be, when they are at a town hall or they are being interviewed, I think that they'll have some specifics. You know, I think everybody is tired of the old adage of, well, you know, we're going to create new jobs. We're going to reduce taxes. We're going to make government smaller. It's just a bunch of platitudes, a bunch of garbage because there's nothing specific. And I think that I think that Kevin Kiley will be specific. The whole thing about what someone like Kevin Kiley is, will he follow the route of, I'm going to do this for the people? Or will he follow the route, I'm going to do this for Kevin? And I think that's been the big question on him. That's not my question. It's been the big question on him by a lot of people and by people who maybe are his critics in the fact that he's very ambitious. He is someone who is, I mean, he was barely an assemblyman and ran for senator of the state of California, of our district. And, you know, again, I'm not saying right, wrong, or different. I don't know enough. I'm going to go hear what he has to say. Maybe I can get a question in there, too. We'll see. We'll eventually get he and Larry Elder on this program to talk to him. And I think that the main thing is we have to start vetting these people who are running and asking them tougher questions. And I think that's a frustration because I know the last time the DA was on Free Fire Radio, they wouldn't even allow questions. I mean, it's just like, okay, we're going to have them on. Are we more concerned about ruffling someone's feathers than we are getting to the truth?
Right.
Which is it? Dar, how are you, my dear? What say you?
Good morning. I don't know if this is relevant or not, but, you know, I called one day. I'm frustrated. I called Dolly. There was no answer. There was no answer machine. I called Nielsen, and I got the fax machine or something. I didn't get him. And then I called, help me here.
Well, there's only those two. There's Dally. Oh, Megan Dally? Did you call Megan
Dally? No, Dally and Nielsen and, this one
James Gallagher?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had a live person there.
Right.
And I talked to him.
Right.
And he told me that my concern was I'm watching these fires and they're cutting down these beautiful big trees and they're all burning up. And I'm thinking all those trees could have been used in the United States for building houses or building fences or whatever. And I said, you know, when are they going to do something about the fires? Because I haven't heard Kylie say anything about putting the loggers back to work or opening up the sawmills. I haven't heard Elder saying anything about that. That, to me, is really important to California before all our forests burn up. We need our loggers out there to take care of our forests because they do. And he told me that there was a bill that had been...
Who's he? Which one?
Gallagher.
Okay.
He told me that the Republicans had tried to put a bill on the floor a couple years ago trying to put the loggers back to work to clean up in the areas that had burned and salvaged the lumber that they could, and he said the Democrats would not let it on the floor.
Well, do you know, that's one thing that we have to do locally in our own counties. The northern counties that are the ones that are actually burning up need to vote on those things, vote on those actions in the state of emergency for where they can get funding through the state or through the feds to do exactly that, to clean up the forest before it all burns down. We don't need to wait for the state to make that an option to clean it up through our legislators, because we know that's going to be a loser. That's not going to happen. So we do it locally. We challenge our board of supervisors in every county that's affected by that. If the counties down in Southern California don't want to be affected by it, they don't have to vote on it. I mean, they're not going to. They can take care of their own down there for their issues. We can take care of our own for our issues. It's all local. We have to go after it locally.
Well, my point was is that we don't hear anything about it from anybody.
Right.
I don't hear about it from anybody. There's nobody talking about, hey, let's take care of our forests, before they're completely gone. I feel so sorry for all the people that have lost their homes and all the animals. The environmentalists are so concerned about the animals. Well, what about all the animals that are burning up in these forests?
That's right.
You know? And then there was another thing, but I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, I'm going to vote for Larry Elder.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Dar. Appreciate it.
Hey, to answer the question, Terry, her name is the local lady who is going to be running for governor, who is running for governor.
Yes.
Her name is Jenny Ray LaRue, LeRoux. And she's a business lady, and
right.
she has several startup companies that she's done, and she sold a couple, and she still has a couple she's holding on to and still working with. But I heard her speak one time, and I apologize for not being able to do the recall on her, recalling her name, not recall on her, but recalling her name. I couldn't recall it. But anyway, her name is Jenny Ray
right.
LaRue, and she's very nice, very well-spoken, and she's eager to get out there and do the job. So, you know, do some homework on her, see what you can find out.
Well, we're trying to. I mean, we tried to. She said she wanted to get together and talk, and I've been trying to do that for about, I don't know, a month and a half.
Okay.
And so we're trying. It's just a matter of, she did tell me at one point, I think she had a 10-week tour she had to do for something. I guess the thing is, and it's like with Dar, there has to be some specifics. And
yeah.
Just because somebody wants to do it, or they really think that they, you know, they really have a heart to do this, or I don't know, you know, they believe they can do it, but what are you going to do? And I think that Dara made a good point, you know. But again, there's a venue that that we will have on Monday. It is Tuesday night at the auditorium, Civic Auditorium, in their outdoor theater or amphitheater. I'm not sure which that would be.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
And it's at 7, and he'll be there answering questions. So those are some questions you need to ask, but we need specifics and not, and that, again, it's just like, it gets so frustrating because you want a specific answer. And yeah, you're going to get it bounced around, but when somebody bounces around that specific answer, that just simply means that they're hiding something.
They don't, well, they may not know. They haven't done their homework on it.
Well, you can't.
Or they're just not wanting to commit themselves to.
There, yeah.
And because then if they do commit themselves, then they're going to lose potential constituent voting or whatever. So they're always on that fence. And you can't be on the fence forever because you're going to end up slipping and falling and the picket's going to go where you don't want it to go. So you've got to be able to commit on the hard questions. You have to be able to answer them.
Well, it isn't a non-job training thing.
No.
I mean, you're running for governor.
Right.
You know, if you're running for governor, if you're running for board of supervisors, you're running for city council. No matter what you're running for, it isn't sort of like, well, you know, I'm a nice guy, and once I get there, or a nice gal, and once I get there, you know, it's an on-the-job training thing, but I'm willing to listen. Well, what does that mean? I mean, do you have a plan? It's like, okay, we're in battle. We need a plan. We're in a football game. We need a plan. You know, we're in a baseball game. We need a lineup. You know, seriously?
Yeah.
You know, I just can't take that anymore, frankly. I don't care what you've done. What are you going to do? What is it? What's your plan? What is your plan? Well, lower taxes and more jobs. Well, how does the government ever create jobs? No one ever answers that question. How does the government doesn't create anything. Remember, the government is the product of the people. The government's the product. And their only job is to make sure that our rights are protected. That's the only job they have.
Yep.
And our jobs are constitutional.
And they're
federal and state.
They're to get out of the way when people want to run businesses or open businesses or having charitable organizations. And they need to get out of the way and let those people do what they're going to do. It's always an improvement. The people are bringing something forward because they want to do something to improve. Whether, you know, some of these charitable organizations that are here in Shasta County, they've been kneecapped by the county, by procedures and policies, that some of them don't even exist, and they're taking their money for permits that haven't even been granted. And so I know personally I have a couple that have had that happen. And those are the kind of things that need to be cleaned up. They need to be fixed, and they need to be fixed yesterday. And they need to be refunded. Since the county has proven inaction, that money needs to go back to that person or those organizations, and then they should still be able to proceed with their organization as they see fit.
Well, you know.
Just my opinion.
Yeah, well, no, I'm with you, brother. Anyway, coming to the time, warning you say goodbye.
Yep.
Party's over.
Party's over.
Time has come.
51. For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.